we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
The crook bug puts over a billion Wi-Fi devices at risk. Airbnb conducts undisclosed personality tests and profiling on renters. A Florida man becomes a crime suspect thanks to his fitness app location data. And the role of big data and surveillance in tracking the coronavirus response. All this and more in Access of Easy number 136. Hey everybody, Mark Jeftovic here with another episode of Access of Easy. It is March 10th, 2020. What a year it's turning out to be so far. Let's get right down to it. Wait a minute. Let's do the quotes. Last week's quote was, nothing can now be believed which is seen in a newspaper. Truth itself becomes suspicious by being put into that polluted vehicle. That was Thomas Jefferson. The winner was Del Blanchard. And we also gave the previous week's quote to Tony King, who knew it was Arthur Miller and for various reasons couldn't get that submitted on time. This week's quote, special emergency rate cut edition, is we are all Keynesians now. You know the rules, no searching up the answer, and the first person to post the correct author of the quote to the show notes page gets their next domain or web hosting renewal on us. And this week's show notes will be easydns.com/podcast/136. Okay, now let's get down to it. So the crook bug puts over a billion Wi-Fi devices at risk. So researchers gave a presentation at the RSA 2020 conference disclosing a bug that's now called crook, and it can be used to intercept Wi-Fi packets. And the vulnerability exists in chips manufactured by Broadcom and Cypress. And they're used in about a billion devices globally, everything from Wi-Fi points themselves to the devices that connect to them, like laptops, smartphones, tablets, and IoT devices, pretty well all across all manufacturers. So the researchers were called ESET, E-S-E-T, and they say that the vulnerable devices can be forced to use an all-zero encryption key, allowing an attacker to decrypt part of the data stream. Airbnb conducts undisclosed personality tests and profiling on renters. So it turns out that Airbnb evaluates your personality by scraping your social media, your blog posts, and anything else you author online, and then they run analysis on that to see if you possess any of the traits of what they call the dark triad, which are narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism. Airbnb then uses that to generate your renter score, which uses predictive analytics to help Airbnb, quote, flag and investigate suspicious activity before it happens, end quote. And like I said in the email version, I think I've seen this movie before. Anyhow, all of this comes out in a complaint filed by the Electronic Privacy Information Center, known as EPIC. And they allege that the company secretly rates customers' trustworthiness based on a patent that describes evaluating personalities using such factors as authoring online content with negative language. And they say that this is an unfair and deceptive practice, which violates the FTC's Fair Credit Reporting Act. So Robinhood is like crashing all over the place. That's a online trading platform. It's favored heavily by, you know, millennials who like to play fast and loose and make lots of money quickly buying, you know, exotic strategies like call options and spreads and that sort of thing. And you can make a lot of money quite quickly doing some of these things, and it works until it doesn't work. Or until you have such a big trading day that the platform you're trying to trade on actually crashes so you can't get out of your position. So last week, Robinhood crashed on Monday, missing the largest single day move as measured by the Dow Jones in stock market history, up until that point anyway. And the reason, the early rumors were that it was a bug in the code having to do with the leap year, which fell on the weekend. Robinhood later denied that and they issued a mea culpa. But then on Tuesday, they crashed again, missing the second largest down day in stock market history. And so they had two strikes. And then yesterday, if anyone's paying attention, we had another gigantic implosion on the stock market, 2,000 points down, and Robinhood crashed again. And as someone mused online, maybe they forgot to set their clock ahead over this weekend. Legal services giant Epic Global offline after a ransomware attack. So the e-discovery and legal document service provider Epic Global went offline last weekend, and they locked a lot of legal personnel out of their documents who were facing client and, you know, legal procedure deadlines. It was originally reported by legal reporter Bob Ambrogi, and it was described as an unauthorized usage, which led to the shutdown. But then the story came out that it was a ransomware attack. It started with a TrickBot infection, which then installed RYUK reverse shell the morning of the attack, and it just kind of went from bad to worse there. A new FAA rule requires all drones to broadcast their locations over the internet. So aviation and drone hobbyists are not happy about a new FAA rule, which will require nearly all drones to constantly broadcast their locations over the internet. There was a public comment period. It ended yesterday. Sorry about that. And it garnered over 34,000 comments from hobbyists and aficionados who were unanimously opposed to the proposed regulations. And they say that it will effectively destroy the market for hobbyists and ruin the activity completely. And it's also said that the new framework will be hostile towards small business entrants and solo entrepreneurs trying to innovate in the drone space. And this is a recurring theme I talk about a lot. The higher the regulatory burden, the less competition you get in that space. Florida man becomes crime suspect thanks to his fitness app's location data. So a cyclist in Gainesville, Florida, got an email notice from Google that they were about to comply with a law enforcement agency request demanding information about his account. He had, you know, 7 days to appeal if he was going to do anything about it, not to Google, but in court. And the authorities were using a geofence warrant, is what it's called. It is, quote, a police surveillance tool that casts a virtual dragnet over crime scenes, sweeping up Google location data drawn from users' GPS, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and cellular connections from everyone nearby a crime scene, end quote. In this case, it was a burglary of an elderly woman's house, and the cyclist passed it several times on the day of the burglary because he was looping around the neighborhood. It was part of his exercise route. So geofence warrants of this type are being used with increasing frequency, and even Google considers them a significant incursion on privacy. Brings us to a larger issue, the role of big data, AI, and tracking in something like the coronavirus response. So we've got a piece in VentureBeat that looks at the role that ubiquitous state surveillance played in China's efforts to contain the COVID outbreak in the Wuhan province. Quote, China quarantined 50 million people in cities like Wuhan and used WeChat and Alipay to track people's movement and keep infected individuals from traveling. The government also deployed facial recognition and thermal sensors in drones and helmets, end quote. So we talked about this also in last week's Access of Easy. There was that Alipay app that had the QR code on it, which displayed your quarantine status. We talked about those experimental thermometers with the facial recognition devices installed on the buses in a province in southern China. So where does privacy fit into all this? Once society recovers from the coronavirus outbreak, I'm not holding my breath for whatever surveillance and monitoring capabilities the government's deployed to deal with this to simply get wound down and put away until another emergency comes along. Because, you know, if there's one thing you learn, if you take a look at history, is that there is no such thing as a temporary government measure. That's pretty well it for this week. Remember, if you're in Canada and you haven't already signed our House of Commons petition to block the BTLR, which is anti-free speech and pro-censorship, then please hit the show notes and get to that petition and sign it and share the petition with your friends and colleagues. And also, if you're interested, I was just on Mike Swanson's Wall Street Window podcast to talk about my latest book, Unassailable, and we talked also about like how internet marketing works in general when dealing with these gigantic, all-powerful tech platforms. And if you have read the book and you like it, please leave a review on Amazon or Goodreads, okay? Thanks a lot. So once again, show notes this week's episode are at easydns.com/podcast/136. And stay safe and stay healthy out there, and we will talk to you next week.